Do you know what this is? Do you know the sound? It's an adding machine. An engine made to calculate, yet different from its kind. Unlike its brothers, this machine tots no dollar, subtracts no drachma. It's not for digits nor for decimals, but for hopes and dreams and fears. It reckons neither rupee nor peseta, but it knows how achievement can be multiplied, how frustration divides, how confidence adds to confidence. And these, as you shall hear, are the currencies of our statement of account.
Years ago, on the 24th of October, 1945, the United Nations began its existence. By the San Francisco Charter, the governments of the world bound themselves to save succeeding generations from the scourge of war, to reaffirm and defend the fundamental human rights of all peoples, to promote social progress and better standards of life. We ask you today to follow with us the sweep of the world horizon in our time, to hear some of the things which have been achieved through the United Nations, of those things which remain to be achieved. And because this program is in the nature of a stocktaking, it has been called a statement of account. United Nations Radio presents Ralph Bellamy in a program for United Nations Day 1958, a statement of account.
Item 1, the legacy. Is it to you infinitely remote? Or was it only yesterday?
My name is Alistair Cook. To me, it does seem like yesterday. When we went to San Francisco in 1945 to report the making of the United Nations, we were haunted by the grisly image of the world all around us. 40 millions were dead from violence and its consequences. 40 more millions had been maimed or wounded. Hamburg, Coventry, Leningrad, Rotterdam, Hiroshima, Manila had been destroyed. In these and many more cities, there was famine and disease among the rubble. 20,000 ships were at the bottom of the sea. Railways and factories beyond counting had been annihilated.
Surely no balance sheet ever began with a more dominant deficit. 13 years are gone. 1/5 of a human lifetime. Do we move forward? Or do we go back? Do we move at all? Item, Security Council.
This is the room where the Security Council meets. I know it well. I'm a radio commentator here at the United Nations. My name is Irving Berenson. Almost every serious disagreement between nations during the last 13 years has come to this very table. That's what it's for, to keep disputes matters of words rather than of bullets. Some of the questions which riveted the attention of the world on this room are now distant to many of us, perhaps half forgotten. Soviet troops in Iran in 1946, British troops in Egypt in 1947. These matters were extremely hot at the time. Greece and her northern neighbors, the revolution in Indonesia. Other matters which echoed from these walls cannot be half forgotten. There was Palestine brought in many, many times. Kashmir, a war stopped 8 years ago, though a question unresolved. Korea, the word is enough. And Hungary, Suez, Lebanon.
Mark us down some credits, if you will. For the bullet put aside, the word taken up. The word can be a potent weapon fit for much campaigning, and its battleground is here. This table, this room, this place, and others like it. Here, says the charter, do we give the twist to Clausewitz. Diplomacy now is, and must henceforth be, the continuance of war by other means. What other means but words? Yes, it seems we move, and even, in some ways, forward. Item, UNIF.
My name is Gonzalez, and my home is in Colombia. But I am speaking to you now from Gaza, the town of the Bible. I am a soldier on duty here. What is my duty? Nearby runs the line between Israel and Egypt. That line we must keep peaceful and quiet. There must be no clashes, no crossings by armed men. We came here first in the troubles of 1956. We are UNIF, the International Army of the United Nations, the first such army in all history. Our men come from 10 countries, but we obey the orders of the world.
And what is the world's command? It is this. Be there. Stand there. For us all. Until a day to come when the last patrol concluded, your watch shall be relieved. A credit then for UNIF, First Army of the World. A moment. We've not yet done with Gaza. Hear this. Item. Palestine refugees.
My name is Michael Hacking. In and around Gaza are refugee camps in which over 200,000 people pass a pointless, purposeless existence. They are some of the more than a million Arab refugees from the 1948 fighting in Palestine. The United Nations agency for which I work helps to feed and shelter them, to provide basic social services, and to explore the few, the very few, job opportunities which exist. We who work with the refugees are tremendously aware of the manner in which frustration and idleness feed the already high level of bitterness in the refugee communities. We know something else too. Here in the desert, time alone does not heal wounds like this.
One large malevolent negative here mars our ledger sheet. This is the kind of fiber from which great trouble is woven. When year follows year in bitterness and sloth, no reasoned clear-cut argument, no consummate rationale compensates one man for a wasted life, how then console a million? In some ways, we hardly move. We do not move at all. Here, too, things seem static. People seated around a table, others beyond them. No movement, save of papers rustled and heads turned.
Would the petitioner please take his seat?
Petitioner? What seeks this man? What favor does he ask?
The trusteeship council will now hear the petitioner. I give him the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You gentlemen all know why I'm here. This council knows what it is we seek. We want our independence. We believe the time has come to stand on our own feet and be a nation. And the independence we desire must be real, not theoretical, not illusory.
This is a room where men help make nations. Here in this place, and out there on the ground. Item, trusteeship.
My name is Taylor Shore. I work for the United Nations in Somalia. Somalia, which is in Africa, is not a large country. The land is poor, the resources few, the experience limited. Once it was an Italian colony. In 1960, it becomes an independent nation. Our job is to help the Somali people in making a wise and stable constitution, and to see that they receive whatever international assistance it is possible to provide, economic help, technical guidance, the tools and the skills to live in prosperity and peace.
Mark then how nations are built and peoples help to take a firm grasp on their own destinies and credit well. Note down with caution and foreboding places where men neither rule themselves nor move towards such ruling. Here lie dangers. Yes, in some ways we go forward. Do wars begin in the minds of men, or in their pockets, or in their stomachs? We need no engine of arithmetic to yield an answer here. Wars, we say, begin in the minds of men, and in their pockets, and in their stomachs. Item, food and agriculture.
This is B.R. Sen. More than half the people in the world go hungry, and each day that passes brings 120,000 new mouths to feed. On the other hand, there are huge unused resources, wide spaces of land to cultivate, vast forests, the wealth of the deep sea fisheries. There are also the gains of science, but our task is a race against time. We have not yet closed the gap between the few who have plenty and the many who have not enough.
Untangle the complex, smooth out the skein of plenty. No Alexander can slash through this knot with a single cosmic stroke. But patient men and wise men may yet find ways to piece out the strands of rooted practice, vested interest, superstition. Item, technical assistance.
My name is Balakrishnan. I come from India, but I work in Thailand. I am there because the government asked for my services. I am a UN technical assistance expert. Not all the ground in Thailand is being used well. The farmers spend 5 to 7 months each year growing a crop of rice. Then, in their own words, they go to sleep. Now, on the same ground which grows rice, there can be planted all sorts of other crops. At a special farm which I run, the farmers come and see how to add to their earnings, how to improve their land, how to help their country.
Multiply by countries and by continents, by farm and factory, by lab and lathe. Multiply this one transplanted skill by the thousands which move among the nations, and give credit where it's due.
My name is Keenlayside. 8 years ago, the United Nations family of organizations added a new dimension to the concept of sharing skills among peoples. The expanded program of technical assistance, to give it its formal title, has met more than 6,500 requests from governments for assistance by experts. In all, 135 countries and territories have benefited from this transplanting of knowledge.
Yes, multiply by nations and by continents, by farm and workshop, lab and lathe, and write us down a credit as bold as you see fit, remembering the while the skills that still are needed, the soil that waits the plow.
Hello, this is Bolzano Central. I want to speak to Innsbruck South.
Italy is speaking to Austria.
Innsbruck South here. Good evening.
And Austria is answering.
As arranged, we are pulling a Torino 5 out of the grid at midnight and taking a feed from you, right?
What has this chatter to do with us, this flow of jargon? How does it relate to peace, stability, happiness?
That's right. In 2 minutes.
Switch Geneva into this net and you shall hear.
This is Geneva. My name is Clint Rayling, and I work for the Economic Commission for Europe. Austria produces more electric power than she can use within her borders. Italy, not enough. Because of agreements worked out here, around the table of ECE, it is now possible to feed electricity from one national grid to another by means of a telephone call.
15 seconds.
Yes.
Along the mighty Brenner, moonlight now paints the snow-clad peaks and draws in fine detail the line which binds nation to nation, supply to demand.
Now.
Yes, moonlight paints along the Brenner, and the grid is now complete.
My name is Philippe de Seine. This kind of United Nations work is called regional economic cooperation. Linked to the United Nations Economic and Social Council is a group of four economic commissions. There is one for Europe, one for Latin America, one for Asia and the Far East, and a new one, its work is just beginning, for Africa. Each is a forum for discussion of the economic problems of a principal region of the world. In a sense, each is also a workshop for the solution of common regional problems.
Some credits, please, for cooperation within the continents, for a sense of live and let live and help to live. And here mark in the margin one potential future asset, not within the continents, but among them. Item, UNESCO.
I am Luther Evans. This is Paris, the headquarters of UNESCO. How do you feel about the Greeks, Bolivians, Indonesians? Do you know them? Do you understand them? Do you like them? The countries which are members of UNESCO are agreed that Asia and the Far East are not well understood in the West, that the picture which Asia now has of the West is seriously clouded by inaccuracy. Both of these pictures are incomplete, distorted, and potentially dangerous. Therefore, UNESCO has added to the existing program a new major project on the mutual appreciation by East and West of one another's cultural values. This will be a long and patient work. It will involve all the means by which one people learns about another, from the history textbook to the movie screen. Slow work, but we believe it is important and necessary to the building of a peaceful and stable world.
A plus, then, for UNESCO. Set it down and wait. Wait for the unclouded day, the undistorted glass, the mote removed from the eye of the beholder. Item, the atom.
I am Sterling Cole, speaking from Vienna, that ancient meeting place of nations. The noble aim allotted to the International Atomic Energy Agency is to direct nuclear energy towards peace, health, and prosperity. We have started to operate. Our role as a bank for fissionable materials, as a clearinghouse for atomic knowledge, and an accelerator of the peaceful applications of nuclear energy is taking shape and substance.
From Vienna, take one credit. Be it small, it's bright and clear. It gleams out there and beckons to a saner, cleaner age. Now clear the calculator and make ready for a triumph.
One of the great threats to the health of the people in tropical and subtropical countries is yours. This disfiguring, debilitating, and disabling disease seriously undermines the working capacity of its victims through extensive mutilating sores, often on hands and feet. My name is Dr. Guter, and one of my principal tasks for the World Health Organization is to promote mass campaigns against yours. 13 years ago, there were some 200 million people exposed to yours, and probably over 50 million infected. Today, the picture is very different. By the end of this year, about 25 million will have been treated with a penicillin, one injection of which usually cures it completely. Among the 100 million examined, active yaws will have been reduced from about 15 million cases to less than 500,000, or from 15% to only 0.5% or 1%.
Write down the victory. Credit the triumph, however incomplete, against an enemy irresistible only yesterday. Add one more mark, a proud one, for other battles fought with scalpel, stethoscope, and tablet within the human person. But set off here a minus. For battles we know how to win, yet still lose. Item, UNICEF.
I work for UNICEF in Asia. My name is Sam Keeney. On any day of the week in Asia, UNICEF supplies are used to feed more than 50,000 infants and perhaps 100,000 older children and mothers. This happens in 8,000 maternal and child health centers we assist. On the same day, 2,500 people will be lined up for X-ray examination at TB centers. Working in the field, TB teams will test 75,000 people and vaccinate perhaps 25,000. 12,000 houses will be sprayed for protection against malaria. UNICEF will examine 25,000 for yaws, and it will treat about 3,000. In Asia alone, teams operating UNICEF-assisted projects are in touch with something like 400,000 people every day.
Compound Asia with other continents. These efforts with parallel ones across far seas, and credit UNICEF. Make the credit of a size to denote the value of children cured and strong, if such can be metered. Machine, prepare yourself for activity. There is much still to be listed and marked for good or ill. Credit for ICAO, for a million safe descents through fog and gloom and cloud to 1,000 foreign fields which speak the same tongue, the language of common sense, of reason, in the air. Credit to the World Bank for a dozen bandit rivers tamed and put to work for us, for the shining rails which bind mine to farm and port. For ILO a credit, partly on account of Joe.
Joe fell off the ladder when we were working on the wall together and broke his leg. Bad. He couldn't work for 3 months. Well, now, Joe is from overseas. He's what they call migrant labor. Until lately, they didn't have any rights like us. But since this ILO thing, Joe gets compensation just like everyone. It's bad. He broke his leg, but his wife and little ones will eat.
Partly on account of Joe. A plus for Korea, rebuilt. A negative for slow progress. No progress on old and crusted issues involving race distinctions, economic bottlenecks, unenlightened self-interest. Wherever these may be. But give 10 times plus, we ask you, for 10 years of patient effort, a decade of inching progress in a matter where progress is reckoned in centuries. Item, human rights.
Eleanor Roosevelt speaking. 10 years ago, I was a member of the United Nations body which drew up the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It seemed to me then that this was as important as anything I'd ever done in my life. It still seems so today. We sat together and we took from all the world's traditions of liberty those 30 common rights and freedoms without which there can never be full justice and peace in the world. We put them in a short declaration which was proclaimed as a standard to be achieved by all peoples and all nations. Today, 10 years later, there is still no country in the world where all people enjoy all the rights of the Declaration. but its effect has been profound. It has been written into constitutions and quoted before judges. It has been the measuring rod for personal liberty everywhere. Its influence has just begun.
We have come to it at last. The matter which can no longer be avoided. The brooding, massive, many-named, thousand-faced enigma which beclouds every horizon, darkens every pathway to advance. Need we name it? How do we write it down? 12 years of meetings, resolutions, proposals, papers, and debates. 12 years and no disarmament. The atom uncontrolled. Yes, mark it down. But set against it this.
My name is Narayanan. I had the privilege of representing the Secretary General at the recent East-West Geneva conference that went into the question of the possibility of detecting nuclear explosions. The experts at this conference reached a number of agreed conclusions. They agreed that if a system could be set up on the basis of those conclusions, it would be possible to detect violations of any agreement under which nuclear weapons tests would be banned. This technical accord can have far-reaching significance. As Mr. Hammarskjöld himself said on that occasion, this agreement can make an effective dent in a problem which so far has proved rather intractable, the problem of disarmament. He added, it now lies with governments and with the United Nations to follow through the opening thus created.
Now it lies with governments, with the United Nations, with us. Our statement now is ended, our statement of account. Would you like to know the answer, the balance, the amount? It says, we are the answer. We are the asset and the liability and the partners. It says we can build the peace. No one else. Yes, we are all full partners here on this ball of earth in space. A common past, one destiny, makes one the human race.
A Statement of Account. This program was broadcast to mark the 13th anniversary of the making of the United Nations. United Nations Day, 1958. Ralph Bellamy presented the statement. The program was written and produced by George Marvshin and prepared by the international staff of United Nations Radio in New York.